When segregation still ruled the classroom, Lincoln High in Kansas City, Missouri, now Lincoln College Preparatory Academy, was a center of the local African-American community. Its history stretches back to the close of the Civil War. It's moved locations several times and changed a lot over the years. As late as the 1950s, it was the only option for black students who wanted a high school education. Though Brown versus the Topeka Board of Education officially integrated American schools in 1954, Lincoln continued to be all black until 1978. Here to look at Lincoln High School and what it is now, College Preparatory Academy, are Joe Louis Maddox, historian for the Kansas City Historic Preservation Commission. He will lead a discussion about the school tomorrow at Lucille H. Bluford branch of the Kansas City Public Library. That's at 3050 Prospect. The event begins at 2 o'clock. Good morning, Joe Louis.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. Also, Daryl Davis, Senior Director of School Leadership for Kansas City Public Schools and a former assistant principal at Lincoln Prep. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Joe Louis, let's start first with you. Take us all the way back to 1865. How much do we know about the founding of this school? Whose idea was it, and where was it first located?
Well, it was first located in the area of Cherry, I'd say almost downtown, because at that time many African-Americans used to live in the area that we call downtown. But it came from black people right out of the Civil War wanting an education. And during Reconstruction, Lincoln High School, which was really an elementary school until it became a high school, was a regional sort of a house of knowledge for former slaves and students and all people who wanted to get an education. And Lincoln has such an outstanding history during this time because you had some great outstanding teachers. And they believed in education, knowledge, kids going forth and making a contribution to their community.
So people came from all over the region to attend the school.
Yes. One of the outstanding young students that came was Melvin Towson. He's a guy that was in the movie The Great Debaters, graduate of Lincoln High School, and he went on to do many other things, but also became president of Langston University in Langston, Oklahoma.
In the wake of the Civil War, were there a lot of schools opening up for black kids in the area, or was this kind of one of the only ones?
It was not the only one, but Lincoln started off with a number of teachers that had almost degrees and backgrounds that was unique to this area. For an example, a lady by the name of Anna Jones was a friend of W.B. Du Bois. You had one of the first graduates from KU to come to Lincoln as a physics teacher, and many, many others.
What options were there for students to go and pursue a higher education beyond Lincoln at that time, as far as college?
Well, now, it was Lincoln University, and based upon the programs that you wanted to major in, Lincoln was a good school, but it did not have a school of journalism. And that is the reason why we have one of the most famous cases in Missouri history, and that's the Lucille Bluford case first at the University of Missouri School of Journalism.
Well, so let's talk a little bit about Lucille Bluford. She was a really well-known alumni of Lincoln and also been named after the public library where you're going to be speaking tomorrow, the Lucille Bluford Library. What was her story, and how did she serve as a role in leadership with Lincoln?
Well, now we have to go back to Lincoln because her father was a teacher of science at Lincoln. And, of course, we're coming from this family that believed in strong education. And she also wanted to be a writer and a journalist. And so she used to hang around the call when Roy Wilkins was there. And then she wanted to major in journalism, but Lincoln University did not have journalism, so she had to go to the University of Kansas.
But getting back to Lincoln, she was writing for the paper at Lincoln High. She graduated top of her class.
Outstanding young lady with goals. And one of the things, she became an activist, member of the NAACP. And again, when we think about Lincoln and Miss Bluford, she was down at the Kansas City Call newspaper, and the owner there was an outstanding individual. His name was Franklin, and they were leaders in the community. So she was just around people who were thinking about education and the betterment of the race.
And getting back to some of the earlier days, how big was the school at the very beginning? Like, how many students are we talking here?
I don't know the exact number of the students, but one of the things that it had was you know, this at Lincoln at one time back in that day, they taught Latin. And, of course, you had one teacher, some people will know or may not know, that Frederick Douglass' granddaughter taught domestic science at Lincoln. And so you have some outstanding one principal, his name was Cook. He was principal for 20-something years. And while he was there, you had people drop by, the boys. You had George Washington Carver. All these people came by Lincoln. And this is before 1935.
Daryl Davis is Senior Director of School Leadership for Kansas City Public Schools and a former assistant principal at Lincoln Prep. How many students can the school accommodate now, and how long has it been at its current location at 2111 Woodland?
The school can hold roughly 1,000 students, and I want to say that it's been in its current location, what we like to call the Castle on the Hill, at on 22nd and Woodland. I want to say it's been there around 70 years.
Well, and I've been hearing Castle on the Hill for a long time and just kind of wondered, where does that nickname come from? Do we know?
Well, as you approach Lincoln College Prep, as you're coming up Woodland, it really is the only building there for that block. And as you're coming up the hill, you see it stands as a structure. It is the first school built solely for African Americans, and it was built brand new there at that location.
Joe Lewis, do you have a sense of how welcome such a school was in both the black and white communities when it first opened?
Well, that's an interesting story because in about 1929, there was a bond issue for Kansas City schools, and the effort was made to build a school for Paseo High School and for Lincoln. But somehow or another, Lincoln got left out. And so then there was a long battle for Lincoln that came about in 1935 with the help of a pastor at Paseo Baptist Church, Reverend D.A. Holmes, and some others. So they fought for Lincoln to be a brand new school with some amenities that some other black schools in the region across the strait did not have, such as a cinder track. They had, and by the way, the Lincoln High School back then had one of the first ROTC programs in this area, especially for black schools, junior ROTC.
And what were some of the elementary schools that were feeding into Lincoln at that time? Were there some all-black elementary schools that were playing a role in building up, you know, this education community?
Well, you would say almost all the schools in the area, elementary schools such as in the Independence, they had an elementary school, and then sometime the school district would pay for them to go to Lincoln High School, such as the guy I mentioned, Tosin from Moberly, and all around. Lincoln was the castle on the hill. It was the house of knowledge.
And so what was its reputation as a learning institution in those early days?
Well, you go back to its graduates. They came out. When you think about the graduates of Lincoln, you're talking about Miss Bluford. You're talking about Leon Jordan. You're talking about so many community leaders that graduated and, believe it or not, decided to stay in Kansas City and make a better city.
Yeah, Daryl, jump in, please.
If I can add to that, because of the day and age that many of the educators served at Lincoln, many of them were unable to, you know, work in the field because of maybe institutional racism at that time. And so, for example, you may have someone with a PhD in biology, maybe they can't work in the biology field, so they would teach. And so as a result, Lincoln High School, many of its teachers had PhDs. So really, Lincoln benefited from they would normally be college professors. And so as a result, Lincoln had the best teachers in Kansas City at that time because that was one of the few options they had, but they were really experts in their field.
Well, and Daryl Davis, looking at Lincoln Prep today, what kind of educational focuses does it offer that's unique?
Well, it does serve the international baccalaureate community, And the IB program is a very rigorous college preparatory program, and it is from grades 6 through 12. Actually all of the seniors and juniors at Lincoln Prep are all taking college-level courses. It is the best preparation for a four-year college program. Our students this past year's graduating class earned over $15 million in scholarships. And some of the other scholarships, particularly that they earned, were the Henry Block Scholarship, the Coca-Cola Scholarship, Gates Millennium Scholarship, the Ronald Reagan Scholarship, Anne Frank Scholarship, and we had a senior who earned the Martin Luther King Drum Major for Peace Award. And so we're very proud of the academic achievement of all of the Lincoln College Prep graduates.
This hour on Up to Date, we're talking about Lincoln High School, which was just placed on the National Register of Historic Places. I'm Suzanne Hogan, in for Steve Kraske. We'd like to hear from alumni of Lincoln High days. How do you remember the school? 816-235-2888, 816-235-2888. I'm here with Daryl Davis, Senior Director of School Leadership for Kansas City Public Schools and a former assistant principal at Lincoln Prep, and Joe Lewis Maddox, a historian for Kansas City's Historic Preservation Commission. So Lincoln has just been put on this list. What's the significance of that to you? Did it take a lot of work to get that to happen?
Yes, it took. I've been on the Landmarks Commission since 1977. But my strong efforts, along with alumni of Lincoln, started around 2000, and we've been working ever since. One of the things I'd like to add is some of the distinguished graduates who are part of our community today. Many will remember Mrs. Alzelia Gates. She's the mother of Ollie Gates. Ollie Gates graduated from Lincoln, and he graduated from the ROTC program and went on to serve at least joined the ROTC program at Lincoln University and then served in the military. Another person is Dr. Jeremiah Cameron, who graduated from Lincoln. And believe it or not, the Parks Department has a park that is named after him and is hopefully will be dedicated maybe next Black History Month. It's located at 43rd and Broadway.
As we're calling out to listeners of Lincoln alumni to call in at 816-235-2888. Charlie Parker is another one, right?
Charlie Parker did walk up and down the halls at Lincoln High School.
Were there a couple others that come to mind? Daryl, you're nodding your head?
Yes, I grew up watching Good Times, and the director of that television show was directed by a Lincoln graduate by the name of Garen Keith. And so then also growing up watching Frank White play baseball for the Royals, he's a graduate of Lincoln High School as well.
I, even just in some research poking around, Luke Minhamza, Eddie Saunders, who passed away a little over a year and a half ago, part of the Five Aces, which was a group that used to perform and graduated part of the 1949 class. Joe Lewis, any other ones that come out?
Well, I'd like to also mention, I mentioned Ollie Gates, Eddie Baker, a jazz musician, Miss Yvonne Wilson, state senator. Then we have Gwen Grant with the Urban League, and Melvin Brooks, who was one of the first graduates, the first African-American to graduate from Park College, and Miss Opal Blankenship. We could go on. It's a number of people that I know from, you know, reading and research. And so I hope tomorrow there will be a number of people who were actually there during the period of 35 to 66. And I'm glad to announce that I will be a speaker at the class of 1964, which is 50 years this year.
So you're speaking tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Lucille Bluford branch. That's at 3050 Prospect. Kind of going back a little bit, you know, during official desegregation, Lincoln decided to remain all Black. Why was that, Joe Lewis?
Well, let's see. The school has a legacy and a background that I think the community was just very proud of. And when it comes to survival, we at the Landmarks Commission take a look also not at the building but the people. Lincoln survived as a building, Central High School. It survived Paseo High School. So when we talk about the grand and institution of learning, Lincoln has been a survivor not only as a building, but as a place of knowledge that black people essentially wanted to say, we are just as good as any white school that's around.
Was there some backlash, though, to stay all black? How did people respond at first, or was it just not seen as a very big deal?
Well, as a historian, I'm very proud, but let's see, what do you think?
I would say that, when the 1954 Brown ruling came down, Kansas City was a little bit slower to respond. The schools didn't integrate in Kansas City until 56. And I would say that it still was the primary location for the black neighborhoods. Many of us know that once upon a time, African Americans could not live south of 27th Street. And so even when the schools integrate, there really weren't very many African Americans that lived out in the neighborhoods to go to a Southeast or to a Westport or to a Southwest. So really, because of the African Americans being stationed in the northern end of the city, it still, even when you integrate, that still was their neighborhood school.
Who were some of the leaders that helped open up and desegregate Lincoln?
To desegregate, I don't know.
Or to push for the official opening?
Well, through the 80s, Kansas City went through a decade of magnet schools. And so every school during that time had a focus. And Lincoln became a college preparatory magnet. And Paseo, Performing Arts, Central was computers and Latin. Every school had a focus. And so still today we have about six schools that have kept their magnet theme. Today we call them signature programs. And so it was through the 80s, I want to say maybe around 86, that Lincoln transitioned from Lincoln High School to Lincoln College Preparatory Academy, and it still remains so today.
What kind of bigger role has Lincoln played within the community as a community centering point for people?
Well, one of the things I'd like to add is that when it comes to that issue of why Lincoln survived, it's because you had leaders in the community, civic leaders, who graduated from Lincoln, such as Reverend Briscoe, Paseo Baptist Church. You had Dr. Julia Hill, NAACP, college professor, Ms. Wilhelmina Stewart, Ms. Anita Russell. All these people are fixtures in our community who graduated from Lincoln, and they did everything in their power to make sure that building did not go the way of Central High School and Paseo.
Was it in danger of becoming that way? Like, was there a lot of upkeep that needed
yes,
to be done? Like,
yes.
What kind of things are we talking
well,
about?
Well, see, during the days when the segregation came, Lincoln was not in the best state of maintenance and repair as it should be. And so we called that the day when new was better than old. And there were people in the community felt that maybe if you tore it down, you could get a brand new school like Paseo or some of the others. But these leaders said no. They didn't want Lincoln to go the way of the wrecking ball.
So what were some of the things that had to be done to restore the building and keep it up?
Well, there is an annex that is a newer wing that's now attached to the original building. If you walk through the schools, the students call that wing the pods. And so that allowed for Lincoln to expand, and there's an additional maybe 25 classrooms that now exist in there as a result of the addition. And so Lincoln today actually houses grades 6 through 12, and they're really almost at capacity at 975-plus students.
We're talking about Lincoln High School, which was just placed on the National Register of Historic Places. We still have a little bit of time to hear from Lincoln alumni if you want to call in and share some stories of how you remember the school, 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888, or you can send us an email at uptodate@kcur.org. Daryl Davis.
I would like to share that Lincoln has been nominated for the National Blue Ribbon Schools Program, and that is a national program that recognizes some of our most fantastic and fabulous schools throughout the nation. Each state, their commissioner is allowed to nominate around 8 schools for this award. And this year, Lincoln is the only high school that has been nominated for that. So we'll know in the fall if we get the award, which I'm sure we will. And then also, Lincoln just recently received the Missouri Gold Star Award. And to qualify for that, you must also qualify for the National Blue Ribbon Award.
Well, you're a former assistant principal at Lincoln. How much do you get a sense that students who are going there know about the history of the school and its significance? Is it taught in the classroom?
It is not, unfortunately. I believe there's something that should be added to that. I know that when I was there, I coordinated an alumni day. And so the Lincoln alumni got the word out, and there were over 250 graduates who came back to hear the current students perform in music and dance and kind of get an update on what's going on there currently. They were able to see that the school is still in good hands and is still thriving and doing very great and wonderful things. But during that time when the alumni showed up, for the students to see that they were all African-American, for many of them, that was the first time that they knew that it at once, you know, was an all African-American school. And so I had a senior come up to me and say, "Mr. Davis, I've been here for 7 years. I never knew that." And so that is something we must do a better job of, helping the students know the legacy of Lincoln. They know that they are part of a rich tradition, and they know that they're doing great things currently, but they also need to know that Lincoln has always stood for educational excellence and academic achievement.
We mentioned some alumni earlier, but I'm wondering if any recent alums come to mind since the school's been Lincoln Prep. Any local graduates that still that you remember that have had an impact on our greater community?
Well, I do want to share one that Mr. Joe Lewis Maddox shared before we walked in. Melvin Tolson, he didn't share it on the air, but he was talking about it a little earlier, that he was the protagonist in the movie The Great Debaters. And so his character was played by Denzel Washington, but the character that Denzel played, that person actually graduated from Lincoln High School. And so and went down there and made a terrific impact on Wiley College debate program. As you know, if you watch that movie, they actually beat the Harvard team. So that is one that comes to mind. It's not recent, but let me.
When the nomination was put before the commission, we had a young lady by the name of Dr. Rebecca Buhaker, I think her name is. She's a 2001 graduate of Lincoln. And she came down and she spoke at City Hall for the nomination. I'd like to also add that Lincoln was outstanding during the period, especially during the period of 35 to 66, because it had a junior college based on segregation in Kansas City. Of course, black people could not go to Kansas City Junior College or Kansas City University. And Lincoln had an outstanding library, which was most unusual for most schools. I'm from the Boot Hill, and we didn't get a library until I was in the 12th grade, and I don't think it had 100 books in it. But anyway, those were some of the outstanding features of Lincoln between 1935 and 1966.
You're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. I'm Suzanne Hogan, filling in for Steve Kraske. We're going to hear from Jean in Prairie Village. Jean, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I just have a comment. Our son went to Lincoln College Prep 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, and we moved after that, and he is an artist, and he did the Dred Scott bust that is now in the Missouri State House, and he would tell you if he was on the phone that Lincoln College Prep not only was good to him scholastically, but it gave him a view of the world that he never would have had, a view that of all people, not just Anglos. And he really feels like that was a major part of his education. And I wanted to say thank you.
Well, thank you, Jean, for calling in. How much do alumni continue to engage in Lincoln post-graduation? Is there a strong, I mean, we talked about it. I know a lot of people from your class are going to be hopefully coming to the event tomorrow at 2 o'clock, but how much are you hearing from alumni?
The alumni has been really active. They have participated in helping to support the homecoming activities with the tailgate, and then they show up for the actual homecoming football game. They stay in close communication with the principal and the faculty there at the school, and always state if you ever need our support, you know, be sure to reach out to us. Many of the alumni have come back to visit the alumni room that's set up there at the school, and many of them have donated what I'll call artifacts or memorabilia to the room. And so if you visit Lincoln, you'll see a lot of yearbooks, some of them 50 or more years old.
That's Daryl Davis, Senior Director of School Leadership for Kansas City Public Schools and a former assistant principal at Lincoln Prep. Also, we're joined by Joe Lewis Maddox, who's a historian for Kansas City's Historic Preservation Commission. He's going to lead a discussion tomorrow at the Lucille H. Bluford branch of the Kansas City Public Library. That's at 3050 Prospect. The event begins at 2 o'clock. Thank you both for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having us.